through 15 this morning. John chapter 16, we're going to begin reading in verse 7, and that is page 878. Well, let's prepare this morning to read God's Word. John 16, beginning in verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Thank you so much. You can be seated. The Apostles' Creed contains 10 separate lines, 10 articles, about the work and the person of Jesus Christ, and really only one about the Holy Spirit. Oftentimes we make mention and give honor to the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. I told Sherry, it's almost like we open the door, we let the Holy Spirit out, we say hello, good to see you, thanks for all you do, and now you can go back in and we'll bring you back out next year. The Holy Spirit is feared, he's ignored, he is abused, he is shunned, because we have failed to learn and to discern who he is. And so because we have questions about the Holy Spirit, and because we've seen abuses, we've seen human actions that were called the work of the Spirit, or because when we think of the Spirit, we think of this intangible, invisible being that we really can't know and can't touch. And so we sort of delegate the Holy Spirit to this little area over here. Thomas Arnold said this, and I quote, "The Holy Spirit is the very main thing of all. We are living under the dispensation of the Spirit. In that character, God now reveals himself to his people. He who does not know the God Holy Ghost cannot know God at all." And I'm reading a book right now by Samuel Chadwick called Pentecost. Samuel Chadwick was a Wesleyan Methodist who lived from 1860 to 1932. And he said this, and I quote, "Who is the Holy Spirit? The Bible declares him to be the revealer of all truth, the active agent in all works of redemption, and from first to last, the instrument of grace in the experience of salvation. In him, and through him, and by him, is the power that saves. Illumination and conviction, repentance and regeneration, assurance and salvation are all the work of God, the Eternal Spirit. To the church, he is the source and supply of wisdom and power. The church is the body of Christ, indwelt and controlled by the Holy Spirit. He directs, energizes, and controls. From first to last, this dispensation is the dispensation of the Spirit. It is little wonder that in the Apostles' Creed, the writers of that creed said, "I believe in the Holy Spirit." It is imperative that we believe in the Holy Spirit. But just believing in the Holy Spirit is not enough. It is imperative that we understand the role and the activity of the Spirit in our lives and in the church, so that we can come to fully not only understand the Spirit, but embrace the Holy Spirit and embrace who He is and what He does. So I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit because of what Jesus said about Him in John 16 that we read earlier. He said He will guide you into all truth. We read it in verse 13 of our text. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is to come. The Message translation puts it this way, that verse. But when the Friend comes, the Spirit of truth, He will take you by the hand and guide you into all the truth there is. I love that. He will take you by the hand and guide you into all the truth there is. The Greek meaning of the word guide simply means to show the way, to lead. The Holy Spirit did not come to push or prod. The Holy Spirit did not come to get behind you and shove you in a direction that you do not wish to go. The Holy Spirit did not come to embarrass you. The Holy Spirit didn't come to push you out. The Holy Spirit came to take you by the hand and to gently guide you and to lead you into the revelation of the Holy Spirit, to lead you into deeper knowledge of God, a deeper understanding of God through the Spirit. Like a man with sight leading a blind man. He doesn't just push that person along. He or she does not just push that blind person along and say, "Well, you just have to trust me," and shove them. No, He comes along beside them. If you've ever seen someone guiding a blind person, they walk just slightly in front of them, and that blind person puts their hand on their shoulder and follows them along. Back in 1964, Mom's brother was stationed at Lackland Air Force Base in San Antonio, Texas. And so my dad decided on a vacation that we would go to San Antonio, Texas, and then we'd go to Mexico. So we drove to San Antonio, Texas. My uncle was in the Air Force, and he got off a few days, and we got up that morning, and it was my parents, my uncle and aunt, myself, and my brother, Bubba. So it was six of us. We got in my folks' Oldsmobile with my uncle driving, and off we took off going to Mexico. We came to the border. There was no opening of suitcases. There was no sitting down and talking to anybody. The guy just basically came to the door. My uncle, some of you remember when you rolled the window down? He rolled the window down, and I think he basically asked him, "Why are you coming into Mexico, and how long are you going to be here?" Off we went. We go into Mexico. We've never been to Mexico, and there's not a single person in the car that speaks Spanish. But we're going to Mexico. We drive into Monterrey at night. We don't know where a hotel is. We don't know where anything is. In fact, on the way there, after we got into Mexico, we stopped to get gas, and my uncle had to open the tank, open the lid, and point his finger in the hole to let the Mexican guy at the gas station know we wanted gas. None of us even knew the word petrol. We have stopped at a light in Monterrey, Mexico. It's probably 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. It's dark. The streets are busy. And suddenly, the back door opens, And a Mexican young man of about 17 years old jumps in the car. And he starts speaking English. He said, "My name is Manuel." And he didn't play the piano. He said, "My name is Manuel, and I'm here to, where do you want to go?" And we didn't know Manuel. We'd never seen this man. And we're having to place our trust that he is going to lead us and guide us. And so my dad or my uncle, one of them said, "Well, we're looking for a motel." And he took us to one. He stayed with us, or he drove us around the whole time we were there. He was our guide. Now, one of the things I noticed about what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit, he said, first of all, he will guide you. And then secondly, he will reveal to you, he will speak, he will not speak on his own, but he will speak to you what he hears, and he will tell you of things to come. In other words, the Holy Spirit speaks the language of the kingdom, and he translates it into what we can understand, just like Manuel did. Manuel understood the language of the kingdom. He understood what they were saying, what the Mexicans were saying. He spoke fluent Spanish, and he also spoke fluent English. He told us one day that his mother taught him English because she said to him, "You will make money if you'll guide Americans." And he did. But he could go and speak the language. Wherever he went, wherever he drove us, he would get out of the car and he would go and he would talk in Spanish and they would all, you know, talk. And then Manuel would come back. He was driving the car now. He'd get down behind the seat, behind the driver's seat, and he'd say, "This is what he said and this is what we're going to do." And nobody said, "Well, we'd like to vote on that. How do we know that's what they said?" We didn't know. We were fully trusting Manuel because we knew, he knew the language of the kingdom in which we were in. Jesus said the Holy Spirit's going to guide you, and one of the ways he's going to guide you is he's going to be your translator. He's going to take to you and bring to you the language of the kingdom, and he's going to bring it down to you, and he's going to tell you what God the Father is saying. He's not going to speak on his own. He's going to speak what he hears from the Father, and he's going to tell it to you. Jesus said in John 16, 13, he will speak whatever he hears. And it sort of explains what Jesus was talking about in the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter, where Jesus said, "My sheep hear, they listen to my voice. I know them and they know me." We understand the language of the kingdom of God because the Holy Spirit speaks to us in that language. The proddings of our heart, that little voice, that's something that says, "You need to talk to that person. You need to turn here. You don't need to go there. You need to do this. You need to call this person. You need to drop them a card." That's the Holy Spirit translating the voice of the kingdom and bringing it down so you and I understand it. He is taking what the Father is saying and he's bringing it down and he's saying, "Let me tell you what Dad just said. Dad said, do this. Dad said, do this. Dad said, call this person." Have you ever called somebody and said, "You know what, you were on my mind today. I just wanted to call you." And they said, "I can't believe you called me. Thank you so much. I needed somebody to call me today. You know why you did that? It wasn't because you had pizza last night. It wasn't because, well, I guess it was just a thought running through my mind." That was the Holy Spirit hearing from the Father and saying, "So-and-so needs a word of encouragement," and looking at you and saying, "I want to tell you what the Father just said." He's translating the language of the kingdom and bringing it down so not only can we hear that voice, but obey that voice. His voice, the voice of the Spirit, is the voice of God's kingdom. His voice counters the voices of doubt, of fear, of shame, of condemnation, of disappointment. His voice counters every one of those voices. And He speaks to us faith, trust, hope, confidence, grace, mercy, love. He speaks kingdom language. And kingdom language is not how bad things are and how afraid I am and how woeful it is. No, kingdom language is God is in control. God is still on the throne. God's plan is still unfolding. God still has something for me to do. I think of that line from the song, The Garden. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. That's the voice of the kingdom. Jesus said He's not going to speak on His own. He's waiting in audience with God the Father, waiting. And the Father says, go tell Sherry, do this. Go tell Jan, do this. Go tell Ken, do this. Go tell Lance, do this. Go tell Kermit, do this. Or maybe He says, go tell this person that I love them. Go tell this person I haven't forgotten them. Go tell this person I'm with them. That's the voice of the kingdom. That's the voice of the Spirit. He's speaking to us. You know, sometimes, and I know all of you do it, and I know Sis does it because we talk about it sometimes. Sometimes I use phrases, words, lines that my parents said. I can remember something my dad used to say, usually when he'd start to get aggravated. He'd say this. I never understood what it meant, but he would say this, and here it is. Good granny's alive. Good granny's alive. I never knew what that meant. And he usually used it when he was getting a little aggravated, which meant I wasn't going to ask him what it meant. It was almost like the ticking of the bomb that you know you got about 10 seconds to get out of here, you know. Good granny's alive. And I find myself using that sometimes. And thankfully, Cherry's never asked me what that means. I just have to say, it just means get out of my way. You and I are called to speak the language of the kingdom. We speak too much of the language of this earthly kingdom. And the Holy Spirit comes to say, oh no, here's the language of the kingdom. This is what the Father is saying. This is how the Father sees you. This is the message from the Father. This is what the Father wants you to do. This is what the Father wants you to hear. This is what the Father wants you to say. I speak the language of the kingdom because the Holy Spirit is speaking that language to my heart. And the Holy Spirit is in you. That's what Jesus told His disciples. He said He just won't be with you. There's one thing of being with you, but He said He's going to be in you, speaking the language of the kingdom. Like when you go to Publix and you walk out the door and you've got your groceries and you see somebody coming in. And there's something in you that they just catch your attention. And you don't know why, you don't know them, but all of a sudden your eyes are just drawn to them. That's the Holy Spirit. And that's the Holy Spirit saying, hey, when you get to your car, you need to pray for them. And you don't have to know their name. I know their name. But I'm giving you an opportunity to connect with the works of the kingdom because you've now heard the language of the kingdom. I don't know about you, but there's enough language of this world going around, way too much of it. I don't want to stick my head in the sand, but I want to speak the language of the kingdom. There's enough doubt and fear and disappointment and shame and question and woe is me. There's enough of that being talked around us. Well, last night, Sherry and I, for a few minutes, flipped on the television. We were watching the news about what's going on in Israel. And the commentator would talk, and then they'd bring in an expert. Oh, this person was in the military. Oh, we're going to bring in another expert because this person used to live in Israel. We're bringing another expert because this person is this and this. And they're bringing all these experts to tell you what they think. And none of it was good. But the Holy Spirit doesn't need to bring in an expert. He is the expert. And He speaks the language of the kingdom. He speaks faith. He speaks courage. He speaks miracles. He speaks boldness. Acts chapter 2, verse 11. The people who were hearing this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it said, this is what they said. We hear them, speaking of the 120 that are speaking in another language, we hear them declaring not how bad things are, not how difficult things are, not how sad they are. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongue. The second thing Jesus said about the Holy Spirit is He'll guide you in all truth. Manuel was a wonderful guide, not only because he spoke the language of the kingdom, but Manuel knew where he was taking us. He knew where we were going. We didn't know where we were going. We were totally dependent upon Manuel to take us to the places we need to go. He took us to the marketplace. He took us by the bull ring. My dad wanted to go watch a bullfight. My mom said, Robert, we're not going to watch them kill some cow. Manuel took, he knew where to take us. He drove the car. He said, here's where we're going. When we'd get to a place, we didn't even know where we were at. He said, here's where we're at. Here's what you can do. Here's so and so. He knew where we were going. The Holy Spirit is your guide. Jesus said it. When He has come, He will guide you into all truth. We depended solely on Manuel. The Holy Spirit knows where He's taking us. He knows where He's taking you. He knows where He's taking me. He knows where He's taking this church. I mean, we can give testimony this year. In just a matter of weeks, God willing, we will have gone through a process that began in 2016 for us as a church. We've been at this thing for almost 7 years. And yet the whole time, through all the obstacles, through all the ups and downs, through all the bumps in the road, through all the questions we've had, through all the concerns we've had, through all the things we've wondered, the Holy Spirit was just guiding us along, just saying, hold my hand. I know where I'm taking you. Don't worry. I know where I'm taking you. Just hold my hand. Even the path you're on right now, even though you say, this is not the path I would have chosen. I don't like this path. This is for me. This is not the path I want. The Holy Spirit's right there. He said, I'm guiding you. I'm not going to let you go. I'm not leaving you here. We are passing through. We're just passing through this land. We're just passing through this situation right now. We're passing through this obstacle. He knows where He's taking me. You know, it had been foolish for us to tell Manuel where we wanted to go. We didn't know where we wanted to go. We didn't even know where we were at, other than we were in Mexico. It would have been foolish for us to say, we want to go here. We'd never been there. We had no AAA book. None of us had ever been to Mexico. But he knew where to go. He knew the roads to take. He knew where to turn. He knew exactly what to do to get us where we needed to go. Have you ever found yourself taking the role of the Holy Spirit? It's like, I know what I want to do. I know what I want to do. And we take off down that road without praying. We make decisions that are based on what we want, what we prefer, how we've done it in the past, the way I want it, the way this, if you don't do it my way, I'm going to just have a little hissy fit right here. That's not the way the Holy Spirit leads. Sherry loves cars, and the more expensive they are, the more she loves them. We can be sitting at a light, and she'll say, look, that's a Maserati. oh, look, there's a Ferrari. I'm like, hey, look, there's a Buick. I've bought cars before based on nothing more than emotion. That smell. I told Sherry yesterday, I said, you know, you like Maseratis. They've got a 2018 at Kraft Nissan right now, and they're only asking $59,000 for it. We could trade in your truck, my car, all our clothes, and our house. But we'd finally have a Maserati. The Holy Spirit doesn't take you into that kind of decision. I'm not talking about buying a car. The Holy Spirit doesn't take you into, I want this, I deserve this, I ought to have this. That's not Holy Spirit direction. That's not Holy Spirit guidance. That's not Holy Spirit leadership. My faith grows. My courage increases. I learn more about God and more about myself when I let the Holy Spirit guide me rather than me guiding. I remember one day, Manuel would take us to a motel. We'd spend the night. He'd leave. He'd walk. And the next morning, about 8 o'clock, he was standing by the car ready to go. We'd eat breakfast, load up in the car, off we'd go. I remember one morning, he drove us outside Monterey. We left Monterey and we took off down this road, and nobody in the car said anything because I think we were all thinking, uh-oh. He drove us to a place. We got out of the car. We were kind of at the base of a mountain. We got out of the car. My mom and my aunt stayed at the car, but Dad, Bubba, Uncle Tommy, and Manuel got on horses, and because I was the youngest, they put me on a donkey. And off we go up the mountain. They're riding horses. I have a Mexican boy riding, walking beside me, and he's taking a switch, and he keeps hitting the donkey. And he's saying something to it in Spanish, and I didn't think it was good. And we keep going and going and going, and we probably rode for an hour. And if you've ever ridden a donkey for an hour with a Mexican guy walking behind it, hitting it, saying something. But we came around the last bend, and right before us was this huge waterfall. We were facing it. Manuel didn't tell us at the bottom, now when you get to the top, it's going to be a beautiful waterfall. It's going to be well worth riding a horse and a donkey for an hour. But when we got there and we saw it, the journey was forgotten because of the joy that we had that came because we completed the journey. The Holy Spirit guides us. Sometimes we don't like where he guides. We don't like how he guides. We say, Lord, how much longer have I got to go down this path? How much longer have I got to go down this road? How much longer is it going to be like this? But then there's always that knowledge that one day I'm going to come around the curve and there is going to be before me the joy of the journey. That's what being guided by the Holy Spirit is about. It is placing our trust and our confidence in the Holy Spirit. It is submitting to His leadership and to His voice. Yesterday, Sherry and I, we go out to eat one time on the weekend. That's usually Friday night. But she had been exceptionally good last week. So I decided I'd take her to a second place, and I took her to Chick-fil-A for lunch. We make the order. We go sit down with this little thing they've given us. We sit it on the table, and we're sitting there, and I ask Sherry, because we're behind them. If you're the men on the one on Capitol Circle, you know, here's the counter, and all those tables are in front. Well, we were in the back room. I said, how are they going to know where we are? She said, "They know." When they brought the receipt, I looked on the receipt, and there was my last name, West. Dine in. And then it said, "Handsome man with no hair. Beautiful wife with lots of hair." No, it didn't say that, because I would have walked up to the front and said, "That's not good." It said, "Blue shirt, purple minis." Now, let me tell you something. If Chick-fil-A can find you in a restaurant with two words, "blue shirt," the Holy Spirit knows right where you are. He knows right where you are. He knows right where you're at. He knows right where you're going through. He knows right where you're facing. What you're facing. He knows right where you are. And the reason he knows right where you are, the Father doesn't have to give him a little thing that says, "Okay, here's what they're wearing, here's where they're at." No, he knows right where you are, because Jesus said he will not only be with you, he will be in you. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in his leadership. I believe in his voice. I believe in his activity. I believe in his guidance. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Because he tells me what the Father's saying. And he guides me in the path the Father has for me. I'm closing. But Betty Johnson, when she was coming to church today, she said to me, "Thank you for coming to Pisgah." And I would tell you, Sherry and I never had any idea that we would serve at Pisgah. I'd never even been to Pisgah. I'd heard of it. But for 3 years, Sherry and I, every morning before we'd go to work, we would sit in what we call the quiet place. It's our two chairs that are right by each other. For 3 years, before we would leave to go to work, in our prayer, we would pray this: "Lord, prepare us for a place, and prepare a place for us." We prayed that for 3 years. And the whole time, the Holy Spirit had us by the hand. And he said, "I'm taking you to the right place. And I'm going to get you there at the right time. But I'm not just getting them ready for you. I'm getting you ready for them. So you just keep trusting me. Because I know where I'm taking you. And when I get you there, and you get through that 3-year journey, you're going to look and you say, 'God, it doesn't get any better than this.'" That's what the Holy Spirit does. And that is why, if I did not believe in the Holy Spirit for any other reason, I believe it because God put this church here and gave us the privilege of serving at this church. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Oh, Father, today I thank you for the Holy Spirit, who guides us, leads us into all truth, who reveals to us those things that you're saying, and he speaks the language of the kingdom, and he knows where he's taking us. Lord, may when we recite this Apostles' Creed and we come to that line, those few words that say, "I believe in the Holy Spirit," may something quicken in our hearts. May something leap within us like John the Baptist leapt in Elizabeth's womb when he heard the voice of Mary speaking, and the Holy Spirit caused that little baby boy within Elizabeth's womb to leap for joy. May something within us leap for joy when we say, "I do, I believe in the Holy Spirit." I thank you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.